Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur on Daf Pei Gimel will commence from the Mishnah that you notice on the third wide line. The topic heading that will accompany this sugya is found in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. Dalid Prokim Bishana, there are four times during a year, Tzrichim Hoidah Legabi Oisoi Ve'esbenoi. There is a necessity on the part of the vendor, of the seller, to inform the buyer concerning a sale he had made on that day to someone else. Bearing in mind, we're talking about the prohibition of shechting mother and offspring on the same day. So if on one of these given days he had already sold either mother or offspring to a first buyer, the second buyer will have to take note that he should not shecht that day. So there are four times during the year that a warning or an announcement must be made. A second point that we'll discuss, Bekinyonim, we'll talk about transactions, Zechia and Mo'ois Koinois. Zechia is a situation where I am transferring ownership to a receiver through a third party. In other words, Reuven turns to Shimon and says, Shimon, would you take this on behalf of Levi? So Reuven is in effect giving something to Levi using Shimon as a go-between, or an individual who will be zoche on behalf of, acquire on behalf of the ultimate receiver. Mo'os konos is a statement of law that says the payment of money is that which clinches a deal. These points will become clear as we are exposed to them in our sugya. The Mishnah, Ba'arbo prokim b'shona, there are four times during a year, Hamocher behem lechavero tzorach lehodio, that one who sells an animal to a buyer has to inform the buyer, imo mocharti lishchot, or bito mocharti lishchot. He has to inform what we'll say the second buyer that I had already sold either a mother or offspring of what you are buying. I had already sold its mother or its offspring to a first buyer. Now you are the second buyer. I want you to know that I had already made a sale of the other one to someone previously today. What are those four significant times? Before actually learning the Mishnah, let's just glance at the Rashi, who says, Barba Prokim Bashana, Derech Yisrael, there are four times during the year, it's the way of Jews, Laso Sudos, to make big meals. Ustam halokeach behemo eno lokeach elo l'shochto miyad. And the assumption is that one who buys an animal, he is buying it to shecht it immediately. Lefiko hamocher behemo l'chaveru mochar tchilo imo obita bo bayom. Therefore, if he is selling an animal to a customer and had previously sold the mother or offspring to a first buyer that day, Sorach Shiomer Lisheni, he has to tell the second buyer, Da lechoshem mocharti imo lishchot obito mocharti lishchot shema kvar nishchata. It might have already been shechted that day. So the Mishnah continues. The four times, Veilu Hain, one, Erev Yom Tov Ho'achron Shel Chag, the day before the last day of the Sukkot holiday, that which is known as Shmini Atzeres. That's the so we're talking about a sale that took place on Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot per se, following which is the Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag, which we call Shmini Atzeres. So a sale done on that day would generate a need on the part of the seller to inform the buyer of the second buyer, namely that one who bought the mother offspring after its mother offspring was sold. You should know, I sold its mother that day, or its offspring that day. The Erev Yom Tov Horishon Shel Pesach, that would be a sale of on the 14th of Nisan, which is the day before Pesach. The Erev Atzeres, the day before Shavuos. The Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the day before the Rosh Hashanah holiday. Uchadiv Reb Yossi Aglili, Af Erev Yom HaKippur Begolil. And according to Reb Yossi Aglili, even the day before Yom Kippur in the Golil region of Israel, the northern region of Israel. In that region, apparently they had a custom of having large meals, which raises this issue of the animals being shechted for that meal. Amar Buda Amosai Bisman She'ein Loi Revach. This need for making the announcement is when there is no gap in time between the time he had sold the mother and today. Aval Yesh Lo Revach Ein Tzorach Lo Dio. However, if you have a case where the day before the mother was sold, and now the second buyer is coming to buy its offspring, just as an example, on the next day, so there is no need for the seller to inform the buyer, the second buyer, hey, you should know, yesterday I sold its mother, because we're not going to take into consideration that the one who bought it may be left it over till the next day. Umoide Reb Yehuda, there is one case that Reb Yehuda will concede that even though one bought yesterday and the other is buying today, that you still have to inform the second buyer. B'mocher es ha'em l'chosen v'sabas l'kala. There was a couple getting married, the mother animal was sold to the groom yesterday, and the offspring sold to the bride today. Shetzorach lo'dio. You have to tell the second buyer who bought on the second day. It's clear that they would that they're buying the meat for the wedding meal, so that they would be both shechted on one day, on the same day. So that even though the mother was bought yesterday, it probably would be held off till today, so that the second buyer should be informed of this and not shech the offspring that day. Barba prokim elu, during these four times, mashchiten es hataboch baal korchoi, we can force the shoychet, who owns the animal, to shecht. Afilu shor shove elef dinrim v'ein lo lalokeach el dinner. Even if you have a very expensive animal that's worth 1,000 dinar, and someone came and purchased only one dinar worth of its meat, koifen oisoi lishchot, we force the vendor to shecht, because we're talking about these special days when Klal Yisrael was knowing to have meals in honor of these occasions. So the vendor is forced that he cannot claim, but well, since there's only the buyer of a very small portion of it, I don't want to shecht the whole animal for him. Lefikach im meis, if in this case, if the animal that in the that was purchased, a dinar worth was purchased, if it dies before it's shechted, meis lalokeach, that would mean that the purchaser loses his dinar. He it's his loss. Aval b'shar yemois hashana eino kein. And other times during the year, this halacha is not so. Other times during the year, the fact that a dinner was paid doesn't clinch the deal for the purchaser. it's the deal isn't said to be clinched until Mashiach, until the animal is drawn. Lefikach im meis, therefore, during the rest of the year, if the animal dies, even though someone, let's say, had paid a dinner, he, by paying the dinner, didn't actually clinch the deal. Meis lamocher, the death of the animal would be a loss for the mocher, and he would have to refund the dinner that was paid. Tana, we have a Tanaic source that says im lo hodio, if someone made a purchase and wasn't informed, holech v'shochet ve'eino nimna, he goes ahead and shechts and doesn't have to restrain himself. He doesn't have to make any assumptions. Maybe the mother was sold or the offspring was sold. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Emosai v'chule. This Dibur Masel is going on the section of the Mishnah in which Rabbi Yehuda mentioned that if there is no gap in time between the sale of the second with regard to the sale of the first, so there is a need to inform. If there's a gap in time, a day differential, there's no need to inform, with one exception, and that's the case of the wedding scenario. In the Mishnah, there was an example cited that the mother animal was sold to the groom and the offspring sold to the bride. Loma li, the Gemara asks, Loma li lemisni esoeim lechoson veshakbas lekala. An assumption in this question is that the mother animal is larger than the offspring, so that, generally speaking, offspring is taken in the context of a a non-mature offspring that eventually grows into a full-sized adult. Why then does the Mishnah use this example where the larger was sold to the groom and the smaller to the bride? The Gemara answers, Milsagav urche komashmalon, a point is told to us by the way. De orech ara, it's the proper way, it's the custom, lemitrach bechasna tvemi bechalsa, that in getting together funds and making provisions for a wedding, the groom is expected to pay out more, to invest more in the wedding than the bride. So the groom is the one buying the larger animal. Barbo prokim elu v'chulei. Our Mishnah taught that during these four times of the year, we force the tabuch to slaughter the animal, even if the customer, even if he has only one customer for a very small amount of meat. And the Mishnah then went on to say that if the animal were to drop dead, the customer will lose the money that he paid. So one gets the impression from the Mishnah that the fact that the money was advanced, was paid, it makes it such that the customer is already an owner in the animal, and therefore, as we said, if it dies, it's his own loss. The Gemara asks, but as far as rules of clinching of deals are concerned, the deal hasn't been clinched. V'ha lo moshach. The customer did not draw the animal unto himself. Meshicha is one of the forms of kinyonim, and it's the expected form of deal clinching when it comes to the purchasing of animals. So he didn't do meshicha. And therefore, if he didn't clinch the deal, so then why is the payment of the money considered so conclusive? The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, Kishemoshach. We should understand the Mishnah as yes, Meshicha did take place. And therefore, as we said, if the animal dies, it's his loss. If, as you claim, Meshicha was done Emo Seifa, then let's state the Seifa of the Mishnah. It says, Avol Bishari Mois Hashana, during the rest of the year, other than those four festive occasions or special occasions, Eino Kain, the rule doesn't apply. Lefikoch Im Meis, and Eino Kain means you can't force the seller, the vendor, the seller to Shecht. Lefikoch im meis lamocher, if the animal dies after the vendor received money, the buyer is not said to have clinched the deal, and therefore meis lamocher. The loss has to be absorbed completely by the seller. Ha, but you just said v'hol moshach, but you said he did clinch the deal, he did meshicha. To explain what is going on, or to offer a consistent pshat in this Mishnah, Reisha and Seifa, we have a couple approaches. Two, and we've numbered them. Number one, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Av Yitzchok, Le'olam Sheloi Moshach. Meshicha was not done on the part of the buyer. Ukigon Shezika Loi Al Yedei Acher. Rather, a third party was brought into the picture, who would receive it on behalf of an ultimate receiver, an ultimate buyer. That's zikolo al yedei acher. The arba prokim elu, during these four days, special days enumerated in the Mishnah, dischus hu lo, it's considered of great benefit to the receiver to have meat. Zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav. We apply a well-known concept of zochin la'adam. We benefit an individual even if the beneficiary is not present. And therefore, this method of transfer of ownership is effective. Whereas we said in our opening remarks, Reuven turns to Shimon and says, take this on behalf of Levi. Shimon's taking on behalf of Levi, if it's for Levi's benefit, that is said to clinch the deal. However, b'shar yemos hashana, other days during the year, the choiv hulo, the acquisition of meat is simply a function of an additional expense, and for people to spend money is considered a loss for them, for just to lay out money. Ein choven la'adam shelo b'fanav. Since during the rest of the year there isn't any great, let's say, necessity of acquiring meat, we emphasize more the spending aspect of things, and therefore it's considered a negative thing for him. So in our example, for Shimon to receive from Reuven on behalf of Levi, that only creates a debt for Levi, and a debt creation is considered a negative quality, and therefore Shimon's receipt from Reuven on behalf of Levi is not binding. Based on this concept of Ein Choven L'Adam, we don't impose loss to an individual Shelo B'Fanav if he is not present. So according to the first approach, the Mishnah Reisha and Seifa, the four times during the year and the rest of the year, are dealing with a third party receiving on behalf of an ultimate receiver. A second approach, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'arba Prokim Elu Hemidu Chachomim Divreim Al Din Torah. During these four special days enumerated in the Mishnah, where we saw the payment of the cash seemed to clinch the deal, that is because the Chachamim withdrew their rabbinic requirements in financial clinching, in deal clinching. What does that mean, they withdrew their rabbinic expectations? This will be explained momentarily. The Omer of Yochanan, Devar Torah Mos Konos. From a Torah perspective, the payment of money clinches deals. That's from a purely Torah perspective, without additional rabbinic intervention. And hence, during these four times during the year, the payment of money is effective in clinching the deal as per the Torah requirement. However, in general, we know that the payment of money doesn't clinch deals. Uma tam omru meshicha koina. Why is it that in general the payment, the advancing of cash, doesn't clinch deals? When buying portables, metaltalin, gezeiro shemo yoimar lo nisrufu chitecho balia. Imagine a vendor receives money from a customer, and the deal would be clinched. Let us say a fire would break out in the warehouse of the seller. The items in the warehouse that have been paid for really don't belong to the vendor anymore. He, having received the money, got the product equivalent value already. He has no motivation to go put out the fire and save the merchandise on behalf of the customer. After all, people are, generally speaking, egocentric and figure, I got my money, I don't have to worry about putting out the fire. Therefore, the Rabbanan, in order to motivate people to help others, they said, listen, the money you got doesn't clinch the deal. And if a fire breaks out and destroys the merchandise, the money you got will have to be reimbursed. Knowing that, the vendor will be highly motivated, because he wants to keep the money, he'll be highly motivated to put out the fire, protecting the merchandise that he'll then be able to give to the vendor. That, as we just said, is a rabbinic rule. The rabbinic rule stating that the payment of the money itself doesn't clinch the deal. However, the four special times enumerated in the Mishnah, we say that the payment of money does clinch the deal. And as such, Meshicha is not necessary, and as such, the payment of the money clinches it for the buyer, and if the animal dies before it's shechted, he's already considered the owner of it, and he cannot expect any refunding of the money that he had paid. The Mishnah. Yoim Echod Ha'omur Ba'oisev Es Benoi. The Pasuk says that Osov Es Beno Lo Sishchatu B'Yom Echod, that you shall not slaughter a mother and offspring on Yom Echod. This is a term found in the Pasuk. So Yom Echod Ha'omur Ba'oisev Es Beno Ha'yoim Hoylech Achar Ha'layla. The day follows the night. In other words, a unit of one day is determined by a night and the following day. So that if an animal, let us say, the mother was sold at night, the offspring purchased the following day during the daytime hours could not be slaughtered. Or let's say more accurately, if the mother was slaughtered by night, so during the morning hours, the daylight hours that follow, the offspring will be restricted or prohibited in being slaughtered. The other way around, though, if, let us say, the mother was slaughtered during daylight hours, and after those daylight hours, the night set in, which is really a function of a moment, the passage from day to night, the offspring could be shechted on the night that follows that particular day. Ezu dorash Reb Shimon ben Zoma nemar b'maisa brachos yom echad v'nemar b'oisav es beno yom echad. It says in the portion of the Torah dealing with brachos, maisa brachos, the creation, the term yom echad, and likewise with regard to this section we're dealing with, osav es beno ma yom echad omer b'maisa brachos hayom elchachar laila. Just like in maisa brachos, the day follows the night. The pasuk there says vayi erev, erev is evening, vayi boker, daytime. So we see that first night is cited and then day. As a result, we come to the conclusion that by ma'aseh brachos the day follows the night. Af yom echad omur b'osav es beno. Likewise, the same expression that is found by osav es beno means hayom holeich achar halayla. And as we said, that the mother slaughtered by at night, the whole next day, daylight hours that follow that night, the offspring will be prohibited in being shechted. And the other way around, if the mother were shechted during the daylight hours, being that the day follows the night that follows a day, the nighttime is already a new unit of time. It's not the same day anymore. And therefore, you would be allowed to shecht the offspring during the night that follows the day during which the mother had been shechted. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and you can see it's in a frame, and this frame continues till the end of the parak at the top of Amid Beis. Ezu Dorash Reb Shimon ben Zoma. Reb Shimon ben Zoma explained the following: L'fishakol inyan kulo eino medaber elo bekotshim. Since the context of the parsha in which we find Osov Es Beno, prior to it, the parsha that's next to it speaks about sacrifices. Ubekotshim laila holech achar hayom. And when it comes to sacrifices, we know that the night follows the day. In other words, a sacrifice that's slaughtered during a given day, the night represents the continuation of that time period. For example, with regard to eating the korban, if you have a 1 day allotment, it means that the day in which it was shechted is time that's available for the eating, and the night that follows that, the night hours that follow that day, are also part of that allotment. It's considered one unit of time. So in the realm of korbanos, we see that night follows day. Yochol af zeh kein, should the same be true with regard to osov es bino? So to this we answer, not so. Ne'emar kan yom echad. It says by osov es bino the expression yom echad, ne'emar b'maaseh breishis yom echad, and by the section of the Torah dealing with creation, the same expression appears. Ma yom echad b'maaseh breishis hayom ha'chachal laila. Just like the yom echad expression that appears in the context of creation, we know that the day follows the night, as we explained before. The pasuk says vayerev vayiboker. Af yom echad ha'amur, so to yom echad, that's in the context of ba'osev es bino, hayom holech achar halayla. The day follows the night, with the ramifications as we already explained. At the top of Omid Beis, Rebbe Omer, yom echad equals yom hamiyuchad. The word yom echad that we saw in the parsha of Osev es bino means the special day. And this means Yom Hamiuchad Ta'un Kruz. Kruz is an announcement. Mikan Omru, based on this, the Rabbanon say, Ba'arbo Prokim Bishona Hamuch Beim Lechavero Tzorach Lehodio. During the four special days during the year, there has to be an announcement made. As we said earlier, when we learned the Mishnah, it's during these four days that people are accustomed to making special large meals. And therefore, if on those days an animal is bought, it's assumed that the animal is bought for immediate slaughter. And therefore, if the mother was bought earlier that day, the second customer who comes to buy the offspring of that creature is told, hey, you know, I sold the mother today. And based on this assumption that on those days the special meals are made and purchases of animals are made for those meals involving immediate slaughter, the second customer is then put on notice not to slaughter the animal he bought, being that its mother or offspring had been bought and most likely shechted that very day. We now continue to the next perek, Perek Kisu Hadam, the sixth perek of Chulin. And you can see, as we start the Gemara, we first will learn the Mishnah, as is characteristic of every opening perek. Kisu Hadam, the requirement of covering the blood of slaughtered creatures, Noheg Ba'aretz B'chus La'aretz, it's binding in the land of Israel and outside, B'fnei Habayis V'shalo B'fnei Habayis, whether it's during the time that the Beis HaMikdash was standing or even after its destruction, b'chulin avoloi b'mukdashim. It applies to the common animals, common slaughtered animals, and not to sanctified animals. The noheg b'chaya uba'oif, the rule of kisui adam applies to undomesticated animals and to fowl, to birds. B'mezumon u'b'she'eno mezumon, whether they're animals that are in your possession or animals that you chance upon and decide to slaughter. Vinoeg b'koi, and it's also, kisui adam is also binding with regard to the koi creature. B'pneishu sofek, the koi is a type of animal that's a doubt whether it's a behema or a chaya, and on the grounds that it is a chaya, it must be subjected to kisui hadam, the covering of its blood. The Ein Shochten Osobi Yom Tov, a koi is not to be slaughtered on Yom Tov, because by slaughtering it you're getting yourself involved with the need for kisui adam. The Im Shochto, And if you did slaughter the koi on Yom Tov, ein mechasin es domo. We don't allow you to violate Yom Tov by carrying around dirt, which is in and of itself something that's not allowed unless you have some real need for it. And therefore, since the koi on the grounds that it may be is a behemoth, and thereby behemoth being a domesticated kosher variety animal, thereby not necessitating any kisui adam need, we cannot allow you to do the kisui adam of the koi on Yom Tov. So as the Mishnah says, better not to shecht it in the first place. If you did shecht it, nevertheless, we still will not allow you, out of doubt, to go ahead and do the kisui adam. Before going on in the Gemara, let's just take a little note of some of the structural phenomenon. We will be beginning a long question. As you can see, a shin appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. We also notice triangles that appear, and they are explained in the outside margin, the mivneh. You see a triangle featured, shlavim lahasbir, mai taimo ein kisui dam bekoshim. These are stages of Gemara designed to explain why kisui hadam is not done in the case of sanctified animals, kochim. So the Gemara, mukdashim mai taimo lo, e lemo. If it's because mishum de Rabbi Zera, because of Rabbi Zera's teaching, the Yomar Rabbi Zera hashochet tzorich shiitein ofor lamato viofor lamalo. We should, before going too much further in the Gemara, we must point out that with regard to kochim, and at this point we think the term kochim means sacrifices, the only point at which kisui adam would have any bearing is in the case of birds. Because chayas, which is the other kind of creature that requires kisui adam, doesn't appear as a sacrifice. Sacrifices are brought only from behemos. Behemos don't require kisui adam. However, birds are brought as sacrifices, and birds, as such, do require kisui adam. So what we're in effect saying is that a bird sacrifice, according to our Mishnah, a bird sacrifice does not require kisui adam. The Gemara then asks, is why not? And bird is processed, basically, is processed on the mizbeach, on the altar. So, bearing that in mind, the Gemara wants to know, why does kisui not apply? Is it possible because it can't be done based on Rabbi Zera's teaching, which says that when one slaughters, hashochei tzorich shiten ofor lamato viofor lamalo, there has to be a layer of dirt underneath, namely before the animal is slaughtered. The layer of dirt that's underneath will receive the blood, and then after the shechita takes place, it is then covered with another layer of dirt. That's viofor lamalo shenemar. The basis of this idea of two layers of dirt, one below and one above, is from the pasuk that says v'shafach es domo v'chiso be'ofar. Ofar lo ne'emar elo be'ofar. The pasuk says, "You shall, when you spill its blood, naming through shechting, you shall cover it in dirt." It doesn't say cover it with dirt, but in dirt. The beis meaning inside. So melame, this teaches us, the beis of that word teaches us, there has to be a layer of dirt from below and a layer above, so that the blood is said to be inside the dirt. And here, in the case of bird sacrifices, lo efsher, we can't provide for this. Well, what should he do? And once again, we're talking about a bird which is sacrificed on the altar. Lesiv v'livtale. Should he put a layer of dirt prior to the processing of the bird, and then mevatel the dirt? In other words, announce that the dirt is part of the mizbeach. He's mevatel it, leaves it there. Well, if he were to do that, komoisif abinyan uksiv, he would be in effect adding to the structure of the mizbeach, namely this dirt layer. It's not part of the original Mizbeach design. He'd be, in effect, adding to the binyan, to the structure, and it has been taught, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil, which essentially means that the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash and its contents are already predetermined by the Almighty. And to come and add to that one is not allowed. Now, lo livtale. So let us say he'll put a layer of dirt on the Mizbeach and not mevatel it there. That too presents a problem. Kohavi chatzitza. Then the dirt that's there, that is not part of the Mizbeach, would constitute a chatzitza, an interposition, a blocking between anything that needs to be put on the Mizbeach, and hence with this blockage of dirt, it presents something that's not botel to the Mizbeach, something that hasn't been made to be left on the Mizbeach, as we just said, serves as a chatzitza, an interposition. If we take a look at the Rashi, more or less across from here, a couple lines down, it says, Kohavi chatzitza, bein dam lamizbeach, v'nimtza shelo nimtza domo bekir hamizbeach. There is a requirement that the blood of the bird offering reaches the wall of the mizbeach. Now, if you put dirt on the mizbeach, then the blood is getting absorbed into the dirt and not reaching the mizbeach itself proper. So the Gemara goes on to say, if this is what's bothering you, that shouldn't bother you so much. So you know what he says? Don't put a lower level of dirt. Nehi delamata lo efshar. Granted, the lower level of dirt is impossible for the two reasons we mentioned above. If you're going to mevatel it there, then you're adding to the mizbeach structure something that wasn't designated, and if you're not mevatel it there, then it presents a chatzitza problem. However, lamalo efshar, what about the upper layer of dirt, the dirt that covers the blood? Le'evit kisui, why not do kisui with regard to that? Mi lo tanya, do we not have the following teaching, which will show us that an upper covering has legal significance in and of itself? Mi lo tanya, do we not have the following source that says, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Shochat chaya, v'achakach shochat behema, poter milachasa. So if a person shechted a chaya, and above that, in other words, after the blood of the chaya accumulated, he then shechted a behema, and the blood of the behema fell on top of the chaya blood. So there is an exemption from doing the kisui. In effect, the blood of the behema covered already the blood of the chaya, so what's there left to cover? However, behema v'achra chaya, if he, however, shechted a behema first, and then on top of that a chaya, chayav l'chasos. There is a kisui requirement. Now we see from here that even though there is no dirt under between the dam chaya and the dam behema, in other words, the dam chaya doesn't have underneath it a layer of dirt. The dam chaya was spilled or flowed on top of blood of a behema. Nevertheless, even though there's no offer lamato, still it says here chayav l'chasos. He does have to do kisui. So why is it that our Mishnah tells us that the bird sacrifices are potter from kisui altogether? The Gemara says that the guiding principle is kid Rabbi Zeira, based on Rabbi Zeira's very famous teaching. The Omer Rabbi Zeira, kol haroi lebilo ein bilo makeves bo. Something that can be done in the potential, then you don't have to actualize it. However, v'chol she'eno roi lebilo, something that cannot be done in the potential, bilo makeves bo, then that element becomes binding. Now, we are going to explain Rabbi Zeira's concept not based on the source in which he said it, but apply it to our case here. Kol she'eino roi labila. If something cannot be done in the potential, namely, a lower level of dirt cannot be placed on the Mizbeach, as we explained above, for either one of two reasons or two scenarios. Where if you can't mevatel it there because you'd be adding to the Mizbeach, you can't leave it unbotel, because if you do that, you're going to create a chatzitza problem. So therefore, the lower level of dirt is simply not even an option. As a result of that, we say that you have to have a lower level of dirt. And if you can't have it, then there is no kisui, because kisui requires two layers. And therefore, with regard to kachim, or bird sacrifices, there is no kisui to talk about. In other cases, for example, outside the Beis HaMikdash, where he happened to shecht the behema and then shechted the chaya, in that case, had he not shechted the behema and simply put, he could have put, let us say there, he could have had a lower level of dirt. He didn't, for whatever reason, but he could have had. Therefore, even if he doesn't have a lower level of dirt, nevertheless, it's not binding, and therefore you can do a kisui involving the upper layer of dirt. The Gemara, though, is continuing with questions regarding why is there a total exemption of kisui adam with regard to sacrifices. Let us say, in the meantime, that you couldn't have a lower level of dirt. Nevertheless, we have a new suggestion, and you can see we have a long question marking accompanying this piece as well. Veligderei, or veligverei, velichsei. After having done the process, the bird on the Mizbeach, why not scrape off the blood from the Mizbeach after the blood application was done and put it below on the floor and have a lower level of dirt there, and then do kisui in that fashion? That's veligre velichse. Scrape the blood off the Mizbeach and then do kisui, not on the Mizbeach. Milo tnan, do we not have the following teaching which indicates that in fact that is what's done? Dam hanitas v'sha'al hasakin chayav l'chasos. Blood that, let's say, when you do a shechita, let's say it's spurted at a distance, or blood that's on the knife, that blood needs to experience kisui. Now, how do you do kisui with the blood that's on the knife? Of course, you have to scrape it off, wipe it off from the sakin, from the knife, and then do kisui. Alma de Gorer Umichsile, you see that that's a legitimate way of dealing with kisui. Hochanami, so too with regard to the blood of sacrifices that was applied to the Mizbeach. So, Nigror, after you did the required sacrificial blood applications of the bird offering, wipe it off the Mizbeach, v'nichsile, and subject it to kisui. Why then does the Mishnah say that kisui adam does not apply to mukdashin? The Gemara answers, "I bekotche mizbeach hachinami." If the Mishnah was focusing on sacrificial blood, blood from sacrifices, then in truth it could have been subjected to kisui. Hacha b'mayaskinon, our Mishnah that says v'lo b'mukdashim is talking about bekotche bedek habayis. We're talking about animals that were dedicated to the temple repair fund. In other words, an animal was dedicated to what's called Bedek Habayis. Once those animals are dedicated to Bedek Habayis, they become forbidden to benefit from. What one does in such case, obviously he doesn't build, let's say if I dedicated a cow to the Bedek Habayis, I don't build a cow into the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, but the cow is eventually redeemed, and then it becomes mundane, or the cow, or in this case, if we're talking about kisui adam, birds that may have been dedicated to the Bedek Habayis, eventually be redeemed, and their cash value would be used for the temple repair fund. But in the meantime, before the animal has been redeemed, before the bird, let's say if I dedicated a chicken to the temple repair fund, if I would then shecht it before it's redeemed, it would be osur b'hana. And being that it's a shechita that doesn't, that's called, we'll call it a shechita she'ena ruya, it would not require kisui hadam. Now, at this point in the Gemara, we have a Roman numeral number 1 that appears in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and on the outside margin there is a mivne, a structural note, where we describe these Roman numerals that will appear 1 through 3 are 3 hesberim lahodikotoni avolo b'mukdashim. 3 hesberim explaining this idea of lo b'mukdashim. So I'll call it 3 stages. And the first stage is to establish it, as we did already, that we're dealing with Kochei Perek Habayis. The second stage, on Pei Dalet Aleph, you will see where the Gemara says, well, we can set up the Mishnah as talking, in fact, about Kochei Mizbeach. We'll go back to what we originally tried to say, that Kochei, that Kisadam would apply. Nevertheless, when we get to stage 2, the Gemara will say, no, even by bird sacrificial blood, there won't be kisui. And then we will see an approach taken by Mor Barav Ashi, which is labeled number 3. With all of that in mind, we at this point conclude our shiur for today.